Leaving gates open and wandering into other people's houses was one thing. Walking off with a baby in its pram was quite another. The fact that the baby, when it was found, was discovered to be none the worse for its temporary disappearance was beside the point. Things had got out of hand, action was called for. The villagers didn't feel able to approach Charlie directly about it. They understood that things were strange at the house, and they were half afraid to go there. Whether it was Charlie or Isabel or the ghost that encouraged them to keep their distance is hard to say. Instead, they approached Dr. Maudsley, who had served the village for the past 8 or 9 years. Dr. Maudsley was not young, yet though he was in his middle 40s, he gave the impression of youth. He was not tall, nor really very muscular, but he had an air of vitality, of vigour about him. This physical energy was matched by a great mental liveliness. You could hear the power of his brain in his voice, which was quiet but quick, with a facility for finding the right words for the right person at the right time. He was a tonic in himself, that's what people said. Energetic, intelligent, and amiable, he was an exceptionally good doctor and a better-than-average man. Though, like all men, he had his blind spot. The delegation of village men included the baby's father, his grandfather, and the publican, a weary-looking fellow who didn't like to be left out of anything. Dr. Maudsley welcomed the trio and listened attentively as two of the three men recounted their tale. They began with the gates left open, went on to the vexed issue of the missing saucepans, and arrived after some minutes at the climax of their story, the kidnapping of the infant in the perambulator. "They're running wild," the baby's father said finally. "Out of control," added the grandfather. "And what do you say?" asked Dr. Maudsley of the third man. Wilfred Bonner, standing to one side, had until now remained silent. Mr. Bonner took his cap off and drew in a slow, whistling breath.
"Well, I'm no medical man, but it seems to me them girls is not right."
He accompanied his words with a look full of significance, then, in case he hadn't got his message across, tapped his bald head once, twice, three times. All three men looked gravely at their shoes. "Leave it with me," said the doctor. "I'll speak to the family." And the men left. They had done their bit. It was up to the doctor, the village elder, now. Though he'd said he would speak to the family, what the doctor actually did was speak to his wife. "They think in the village that the girls are mentally retarded."
"Surely not."
"It's what Wilfred Bonner thinks, at least."
She shook her head in wonderment. "He is afraid of them because they are twins. Poor Wilfred. It is just old-fashioned ignorance. Thank goodness the younger generation is more understanding."
"I'm sure you're right," he murmured with a vagueness that meant he was sure she was wrong.
"What will you do then?" she asked him.
"Go and see the family. Charles Angelfield is a bit of a hermit, but he'll have to see me if I go."
Mrs. Maudsley nodded, which was her way of disagreeing with her husband, though he didn't know it.
"What about the mother? What do you know of her?"
"Very little."
And the doctor continued to think in silence, and Mrs. Maudsley continued her sewing, and after a quarter of an hour had passed, the doctor said,
"Perhaps you might go, Theodora. The mother might sooner see another woman than a man. What do you say?"